for tuning in to the Illuminations podcast. We love having you here. It is our mission to be a beacon of light on your journey towards conscious and mindful living. In our weekly episode, we bring you inspiring change makers in the field of spirituality, healing, personal growth, and wellness who share their insight and expertise so you can navigate your way to a happier, healthier, and more purposeful life.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Illuminations World Podcast. I'm your host, Nia. I'm a clinical hypnotherapist, yoga teacher, and sound therapist here at the center. And like always, we have a very special guest today with a very new topic. But before that, I would love to thank each and every one of you for joining us today to listen, to learn, and live light. So let me just introduce the topic for today. It's called The Rise of Workplace Wellness and Why It's Gaining Popularity Around the World. And to talk to us about this topic, I have Linda Chambers with me at the studio today. So let me first tell you a little bit about Linda. So with a career spanning across two decades, Linda Chambers is a sought-after wellness and fitness expert renowned for her unique hybrid approach to holistic well-being. Having introduced the Middle East's first corporate wellness program in 2008 and a key figure behind some of the region's most successful fitness concepts, Linda has played a pivotal role in expanding the region's fitness offering with pioneering principles that simultaneously address the health of the client and the business. Thank you so much for joining me today, Linda. How are you?
Thank you. It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I love this concept of integrating wellness into the corporate world because it's so evident that people in the corporate industry need it because of the workload and the stress and so on. So I can also tell that it's such a new concept as well. So tell us a little bit about why is there this growing need now more than ever? And what's the reason behind it?
So corporate wellness has been around since the early 2000s. Okay. So as you introduced, the very first corporate wellness entity here was Dubai Holding. And that was in 2008. So luckily, I had just moved back from London, and then I came on board, and it was beautiful. I mean, it was something that was new to people. Everybody was very excited about it. And if you think about Dubai Holding and the men that were in charge at that time, key pioneers and figures that are still very highly respected.
Yeah.
So the reason this came about was they were very passionate about their health and well-being. And they understood that it made them more productive as well. So if we look at the history of corporate wellness, it used to be very physical oriented. Yeah. So it used to be small things like challenges to get people involved. I don't know if you remember or if it's still going on. Emirates Towers, the vertical marathon. I think they still do that.
Right. I think so. I think they really do.
Yeah. So it was getting teammates, so from HR department and corporate and what have you, to small things like changing what you have in the pantry, so healthy items. So it was more about getting people moving. And we were very lucky enough, because we had the funds, to have an in-house fitness facility.
Yeah.
So tailor-making programs. We had smoking cessation, which is another huge corporate wellness medium around the world right now.
Yeah.
So it was very much around the physical and the health.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, it wasn't really mental related. It was just mainly the body and like the physical aspect of it.
Yeah, because, you know, mental health is something that's just, it's been around forever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 66% of the US population are disabled from mental health issues. Wow. Between the ages of 14 and 65.
That's wild.
And if you think about that, I mean, that's exactly what it is, wild. So obviously and we'll talk about this later, but we've come into so many things that have brought mental health to the to the surface, even though it's been around for so long.
Yeah.
So basically, now why corporate wellness is something that everyone, all these SMEs are trying to clutch onto, is the impact of the last 2 to 3 years that unfortunately we all had.
Yeah.
So we were isolated. We faced something we only saw in movies. We were in the unknown, and we're still kind of in unknown territory. People lost financially. Mm. People lost their jobs. People that already had pre-existing conditions of mental health, with the add-on of isolation,
it just
amplified things to the max. And even if you were healthy, I mean, I don't know about you, but even for myself, who teaches wellness and fitness and practices yoga and was doing that daily to help others and also helping myself, I still had moments of darkness. Mm. So this is why now corporations have realized, okay, we need to invest in our employees.
And I love that you mentioned that the change or the shift happened within the past couple of years because of COVID. And I believe because of that, it also changed the stigma around mental health, which probably was a big thing back in the day, hence why they probably just focused on the physical aspect. But because it's such a big thing, or it was such a big thing in the past 2 years, I love how they've transitioned to the mental side of things. So how would you incorporate the mental wellness aspect of it in to corporate companies or to HR professionals? So how do you help them integrate that?
So when I work with different corporations, I've got quite a few locally and a couple of international now as well, they are looking for ways to engage more, because the problem with corporate wellness programs is you can always offer, but you actually don't know how many people are engaging.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the ROI of wellness later, but it's how do you measure that these things are actually working?
Absolutely.
So it's about positioning mental health as something that we all are challenged with, or we all deal with, not just on a corporate level, not just at work, but it's something that we face in everyday life, from your family, your community, if you feel that you belong, body image, social media, comparison. So mental health comes at you from every single angle. Childhood trauma, what have you, things that we don't even think about.
100%.
Unless you're aware of those things.
100%.
And, you know, we are aware of these things because we've studied them, we practice them, we help people with them. But I'd say about 80% of, you know, normal population are not aware of these 100%. Things. So what corporations are looking at now are how can we engage everyone, even if they don't feel that they need corporate wellness. So even if they feel satisfied at work, if they feel they don't have really that much stress at work, what can we offer them that improves their life for the better? Because since COVID, home life and work life, the line has become quite blurred. Some people are still working from home. Some people are not back at the offices. Yeah. It has become quite stressful and blurred. Yeah. So it's, okay, how do we... What can we offer our clients? What can we offer our employees that allow them to feel that we care about them and that will help them improve their daily life so they just feel better as a person? And that then, of course, will reflect into their day-to-day work, hopefully.
So it's what I'm hearing is it's helping them incorporate this into their daily lifestyle. And because, like, how do you... I'm imagining in my head, you have a group of people who probably never done this before, or they're not used to wellness, let's say. And typically what companies do is they probably give a talk about stress or a wellness, but it might not really sink in. So how do you introduce the concept or make it, let's say, appetizing for newbies?
Absolutely. So this is where hybrid soul, this is where I come into play, because I'm very spiritual and holistic, and I see things, I believe in things, and judge or not, but I'm also very logical. I need to understand how it works. So if I'm able to understand both sides, then I need to find a simple way to let other people choose whether they want to believe this side or that side or both. So the easiest way, I do go in for a talk, but my talks are more casual. It's like what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
I go in and I have a chat. I'm like, you know, what, you need to pay your rent? Yeah, school fees have gone up. So I lock into things that everybody can relate to. Mm. I'm not just walking in, oh, these are the causes of stress and this is, you know, anxiety and depression and insomnia. No, I make it very, very relatable. Mm. Then when it comes to the modalities that I offer, so for example, I'll do a sound healing session or a guided meditation or a yoga nidra.
Yeah.
I talk science, I talk metaphysics, and it's the men that you immediately see, like, their eyes light up. They're like, oh, what's she talking about? Science, metaphysics. Mm. I thought she's just, you know, they see the instruments and they think, oh God.
It's all fluffy.
This crazy lady's here. She's gonna bang some bowls. And okay, at least I get to lie down and take an hour off work. Yeah. But I always tell them, anything I say to you right now, I cannot explain. You need to experience. After the experience, then please make up your mind.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that you brought in experience and the experiential factor rather than believing you exactly based on what you say. So how, based on your experience, when you do that to clients or to people, how do they respond? What is their initial response like?
So you can tell, right? I mean, you're a hypnotherapist. You can tell body language, people's facial expressions. You can tell who's receptive and who's a bit skeptical. So the first 10 minutes, I try, and the guided meditations are quite corporate wellness related.
Yeah.
I keep the language in language that they'll be able to process, language that they feel safe with. So it's about creating a safe space for them.
And what do you mean by that?
So not using spiritual terms, not using working into chakras. So I talk about energy, feelings, like how are you feeling today? What stresses have you had? What impact have you made? What has impacted you today? So it's really just changing the language. It's the same, you know, narrative, but the language is different. So they're able to accept it a little bit more.
And does this work with the tough cookies as well? I'm sure you'd face a lot of men more than women, I'd imagine, who are like, I don't know what she's talking about, or this doesn't work, or it doesn't work on me. How do you get through them?
So I really just, I ask them, please, I'm here. Your company has asked me to be here. You get to lie down for an hour or sit down for an hour. Just give it a chance. Give it one chance and experience. And I promise you, I always tell them the minimum effect you will feel is relaxed by the end of the session. And I would say I have a 99.9% success rate.
And that's amazing. So would you say that, based on your experience, the different kinds of people that you've met, do you feel like one size fits all, or do you have to alter your way depending on who's in the room, or how do you read the room? How do you know this works better for this person, or that way it works better for that person? How would you know?
So it's never really one size fits all. But with sound therapy and meditation, so I like to work with the theta state. Mm. So it's just getting them into that state so that they are more open and accepting to whatever.
Receptive.
Exactly. Yeah. They're receptive to whatever's been put forward to them. So it's really just getting the trust and getting them to allow me to take them there. Mm. For example, you know, culturally here, a lot of people don't want to lie down on the floor and next to their peers. Mm. It could be cultural, it could be religious, and I completely understand that. And I see them seated for the first 10 to 15 minutes, you know, before we go in, no, I can't lay down. And then they get comfortable and they're lying down, and sometimes even snoring three quarters into the session. So there are defenses up, because there are also stigmas and taboos around all of these things that are available to us, that have been around for thousands of years. And I think just having the opportunity to see it in real life and experience it and know that you are safe and we're not tricking you into trying something that will alter your beliefs or how you feel, then people are, you know, they definitely fall into that state of accepting and relaxation.
Absolutely, because I feel like a lot of people may feel like this conflicts with their religious views.
Totally.
And their cultural views, only because it's not known to them, right? Mm. So what topics do you feel resonates more with the corporate world, like based on your experience? What rings their bell? What do you feel like they need more?
So the topics that I've been requested in the last couple of months that have been repeated are motivation.
Interesting.
Motivation, bullying at work.
Wow, that's a new one. I've never heard of that one before.
So I was quite surprised. And when we talk about bullying in the workplace, it's about rank and ego, basically, at the end of the day. Who has more rank over the other? Who's performing better? You know, who's, although, you know, we don't want to say they're our teacher's pets, but sometimes it may come across that the boss prefers you to me, that you keep getting the tenders or you keep getting the jobs or you keep getting the, you know, the opportunities to grow and I don't. So it's, they call it workplace bullying. So it's about teaching people to shift their perspective.
Right.
Because sometimes what's happening internally dictates how you see the external world. Yeah. Sometimes it's a misperception. So it's about reframing and repackaging so people understand, okay, what is going on in here? Mm. What is happening in the workplace? And what am I letting overlie? Or what issues am I bringing from outside into the workplace? And vice versa. So what am I taking from work?
Back home.
Back home. And that's affecting my personal life as well.
So what you're essentially doing is getting them to be more aware of their triggers.
Totally.
And what pushes their buttons and do the self-work required to deal with that.
Yeah.
So when you go to them, how do you, or do you face any resistance because of, I don't know, some form of comparison to let's say a psychologist or a psychotherapist or anyone from like the mental industry, let's say?
Honestly, I haven't had that. I think they feel more comfortable just knowing that it's the title at the end of the day, right? It's threatening to some people because it's unknown. The unknown is threatening. Yeah. So I think when they read about my journey and that, you know, I'm just the same as them, I've experienced it myself. We all experience it on a day-to-day basis. When we go in there and we do the sharing circles, for example, sharing circles to... Comparison is a huge thing.
Yeah.
And I talk about, do not compare yourself to anybody because you do not know, you only know what you can see. For example, social media, and we all do it. I mean, we do, I don't know about you, but myself as a female, we can't help it. It's what we do, but we catch ourselves and we're like, stop it. So we talk about comparison in the workplace, comparison out of the workplace. And then, what is it that you actually want? Why are you comparing yourself? What is it that you are lacking? So then we go into this gratitude circle. But what are you actually grateful for in your life? And they're like, oh my God, this is so cheesy. Why are we talking about this? But the emotions that come up and some of the things people talk about and are grateful for, it's beautiful. And then the whole energy shifts, the whole awareness changes. The perception is completely changed. It's it's quite powerful.
I can imagine, especially when the corporate world is very rigid, very masculine energy, right?
Yeah.
And when you transform it using the nurturing feminine energy, I can imagine the shift that can happen in that space. Yeah. So what kind of programs do you offer?
So we, I'll go in with a meeting with the client, depending on what they prefer, what they're looking for. So it could be a series of talks and workshops, interactive workshops. It could be just once a month they want to enhance the well-being. So I can go in and do a meditation or a sound. I used to do movement for them, so yoga. Sometimes they know that their staff are sat at desks all day.
Yeah.
So it's really tailor-made. Or we do a monthly program of... So let's start off with this talk. Let's incorporate some sort of activity to facilitate and boost creativity as well. And then at the end of the month, let's come back and see. So we reflect. I'll give them little journals. So it's completely tailor-made. We look over the journals, see how far people have come, what they've faced, what has improved, and what they feel that they still need work with.
Can you share a few of the experiences you've had with people and like their transformation?
Absolutely. So I've had one gentleman that suffered from migraines insomnia, just completely overstressed. And he, I think it was the second, third time that I visited their corporation, at the end pulled me aside. He's like, could I have a chat? And he has quite a stern face. And I thought, oh no, he's gonna tell me something I don't want to hear. Yeah. And he was like, I have not slept in about 2 years. I'm able to get a few hours of sleep. You've completely changed my outlook. I now understand my triggers. I know how to catch myself. And I never thought this would be something that could help me. Mm. And I just wanted to say thank you very much for introducing
me. That's beautiful. Yeah,
it was very emotional.
I can imagine that. Oh, that's wonderful. Well, good on you. That's amazing.
Thank you.
So, like you mentioned earlier, the past few months, that what you've observed were people feeling demotivated, right? So I'm sure a lot of listeners probably resonate with that. So what are some tips that you have for them, or how do you work with people to help them feel more motivated or get out of that rut of demotivation?
So it's very similar to what I was just talking about. It's the whole gratitude. So what do you have? What do you think you don't have? And what are you going to do to get there? Or are you going to realize that you don't actually need more? And if you continue to stay in the space of gratitude, then these problems will just seem minor to you. Mm. So that's, honestly, it sounds extremely basic, but it is, and I'm sure you know, it's just the most powerful tool.
Like you said, even though it sounds basic, but I think there's so much power in that, because what you're telling people with gratitude is A, the awareness and the reflection of what they have or had and so on. And the second one, which is doing something about it, is the choice that they have to shift their life, which a lot of people forget, right? Because it's a lot easier to dwell in your negative emotions and focus on what's not working.
Absolutely.
That people forget that they have a choice to change. Yeah. So why do you think it's so hard for people to change?
Change is difficult. We don't like to change. As humans, we don't like change. We have comfort zones. We have habits. It's scary. Change is scary. You don't know what's on the other side. For most people, so I mean, there are people that will just go head first. But change is difficult. And because we've had so much change imposed on us, the changes that we've had in our lives for the last 2 years were not by choice.
Oh, that's so true.
Now to want to change it's audacious. It's crazy. How do I have the nerve to change when I don't even know if the world around me is going to be the same tomorrow or next week or next month? So it's about knowing why you want to make those changes. Mm. How will you feel? How are those changes going to make you feel? And it's tapping into the emotion. It's tapping into the rawness of it. And if that's going to make me feel good and I don't feel good right now, then yeah, I'm going to do something about it.
Oh, I love how you stressed on your why. Like, what is your purpose, or what is the why that's making you want to change? So before we end the session today, what would be your top three tips for our listeners today?
Top three tips just in life?
Yeah.
In general.
Or perhaps on how they can work with their, or balance at corporate and their other life,
so,
or just wellness in general.
So I'll repeat this one more time because it's just so important. It's just being content and grateful for where you are and what you have right now. Look at the world around us. That's all you need to do. You have safety. You have a roof over your head. You have clean water. You have food on the table. It sounds like basics, but when you think about that, that should make you feel like you are on top of the world. Mm. That's number one. Just frame it up. Be grateful that you are safe, you are healthy, and you are alive. Number two is don't be afraid of change. Try new things. We've been living in fear, where the media, all the things that have happened to us, everything that's been imposed in us, and I feel that we are losing a little bit of creativity. I feel that it's coming back slowly, but we haven't been branching out and, you know, really seeking what sets our soul on fire. And it's because we've become numb, I think. So don't be afraid to try something new. But, I mean, what's the worst going to happen?
Yeah.
You don't like it, you change your mind, you try something else. And three, for corporates actually, is the ROI on corporate wellness is, it's infinite, because you are impacting your employees' lives for the best. And that's why it's grown 66% in the last 6 years.
That's insane.
You know, it's a 6-to-1 return. Your employees are more productive. They have better mental health. They engage more. You know, it's the social aspects. It's the mental aspects. It's the physical aspects. So do not underestimate how improving this in your corporation can be great. And it also attracts new employees. There was a study that I think it was 66% of people that were surveyed said that they would leave their job to another corporation that actually had a great corporate wellness program. And 47% said they would even take a lower pay if the corporation had a great wellness corporate wellness offering. So
that's
it's something now that is, it's there, it's prevalent.
Yeah.
And people are aware of it and they deserve it.
Yeah,
as well.
Absolutely. So Linda, tell us, where can our listeners find you and how can they get in touch?
So I have my website, which is www.hybridsoul.com, and I list my events there monthly. I need to update that right now. And then on social media as well, Linda_hybridsoul. I normally list my events. I do have monthly group events. I do private events as well.
Okay.
And corporations can reach out through my website or to me directly. And
thank you so much, Linda, for sharing all these insightful, priceless information with us.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And thank you for all the listeners for tuning in and listening to another episode of Illuminations Built Podcast. Until next time, stay safe and live life.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love to have you tune in again next week as we discuss more engaging topics on relationships, health, career, self-care, and spirituality. If you'd like to help support this podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave us a rating and review. We'd be extremely grateful. To catch all the latest from us, you can also follow us on Instagram at Illuminations World or visit the Illuminations World YouTube channel for more inspiring content. See you again next week, and until then, live light.